This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
White people, this is to you. How can I say this? I don't want to generalize you all, but for those who apply, this is for you. How do we even say this? I don't think
blackface is bad.
Just don't do blackface, guys.
Blackface is bad.
Don't do it. It's not a good idea. It's not going to be well received. It's just going to open a wormhole that I don't think anybody wants to go down. What up? This is your boy, Kev on stage.
I'm Doughboy.
You know what it is. I see it. What up? This is another installment of Righteous and Ratchet, because in our lives, we all are a little bit righteous.
And a little bit of ratchet.
Yes, and we're having fun today, and we have a full docket. We're gonna talk about it. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today that I feel like in 2019, the stuff that we're about to talk about, we shouldn't have to talk about, but we're gonna talk about it. White people, this is to you. How can I say this? I don't want to generalize you all, but for those who apply, this is for you. How do we even say this? I don't think
blackface is bad.
Just don't do blackface, guys.
Blackface is bad.
Don't do it. It's not a good idea. It's not going to be well received. It's just going to open a wormhole that I don't think anybody wants to go down. And it just shouldn't be done.
Here's how I feel about it. Okay, here's how I feel about it. Right. I'm going to cut this Periscope off because the thing's bad. Sorry, guys. This is how I feel about blackface.
Talk about it.
If you did blackface in your past, you're a politician, you're whatever, just go ahead and release it now.
Tell us now.
Because what's happening in Virginia
is...
The governor was like,
Tell them what happened.
Governor's yearbook photo comes out. Yo. I was in blackface, right? Racist photo. This person in blackface, person in Ku Klux Klan. He apologizes. I apologize for that racist thing.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done it. I was a stupid kid.
Yes. A couple days later, comes back. Neither of those was me.
What picture are you referring to?
I've never seen that stuff. I didn't even know what's a year. What's a book? What's a yearbook?
Hold on.
But then he says, but while we're on the subject, I did dress up in blackface as Michael Jackson. And I could moonwalk. So then somebody says, can you still moonwalk? And he's like, can I do it right now? His wife is like, that's inappropriate. He's like, that's inappropriate. That's right. True story.
Really?
At the press conference when he's apologizing.
Okay? I would have loved to see him try to do a moonwalk. Like, it's really hard to do.
Is that wrong? So then the next guy under him, who was a black dude, he had a sexual assault charge.
Oh,
Justin Fraser, I want to say his
name. That's
not
funny at all.
No. Okay. Then the next person in line, blackface. Another white dude. Hey, listen, I know.
I just want to just get ahead of this thing before it comes out. I, too, dabbled in blackface.
Let's throw Virginia politics in
the trash.
Throw
the whole state away.
Throw the politicians away.
Throw the whole legislation into the garbage.
Some good people there.
Right.
But the politics, the politicians in the 757.
Right.
That's the only area code I know about Virginia.
You probably heard it off a rap song.
Get him.
I know you did.
Get them out of here. If you're a politician. Just go ahead and get it out now, because everybody apparently was doing the blackface.
Is it safe to say it was a socially acceptable thing in this town?
No.
Or this state?
No.
Let's break this down, because I'm assuming you know
the history of blackface.
Okay, I wanted to talk to you about this, because I have been accused of sticking up for people when they're wrong and blah, 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 blah. So I want to right now acknowledge my ignorance.
Okay.
Where is the disrespect in getting in blackface. Because, okay. And what I mean by that is, and so I'll give you a full loaded thing to respond to.
Okay.
Because I see black people dress up as white people. I seen Martin do it. He was very hilarious. I seen Sean and Marlon Wayans do it. I enjoyed it. And so if I don't see where the offense is. So if you know something
that's
deeper.
That's whiteface, though. I mean, that's,
I mean, that's whiteface, but yeah. You're still you're dressing up like a different. So I just don't understand.
Okay, so I'm going to explain. Okay. Are you finished?
Okay, so what I'm saying is I'm trying to understand, how is it offensive if a white person does it, but not offensive if a black person does it?
All right, now let me.
Because I really don't know.
Okay. So there's blackface. Mm. Blackface comes from like the minstrel times.
Okay.
Blackface is putting generally the dark black, like
almost, very, very dark,
almost like jet black, okay. Like this microphone black. Okay,
so not white trying to really show a black person, but really black.
A stereotyped version of a black person, big red lipstick. Okay,
like Drake was in that
Drake.
Okay.
Is blackface in the most traditional sense.
Okay,
then there's what Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon are accused of doing, which is dressing up what I'll say as blackface costume.
Or Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic
Thunder. Yeah, I would say, because that's not the minstrel, I'm making fun of black people stereotype.
Okay.
It's the basically what the white chicks things you were saying.
Right.
Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle. I'm dressing up in costume as a black person, but not necessarily the stereotype minstrel version of blackface.
With the red lips.
With the red lips.
And I'm assuming the red lips were because black people got big lips?
Yes. So the whole, think about the mammy character in black culture. She's big, she's smiling, big white teeth, big red lipstick, round, you know, like that's that caricature. Blackface is basically a caricature of black people. Okay, that's the offensive thing. It was used to make fun of black people. It's how stereotype. It was like, it's offensive. It's like dressing up in Native American culture or like garb. Like I don't want to be offensive. I'm just using this as an example and going woo 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 woo. Right. It's the equivalent of doing
so
that.
So somebody from Native American heritage would take serious disrespect.
If I dressed up, or a white person dressed up, I dressed up, Josh, anybody puts on their traditional garb and does that type of stuff, you know, cowboys and Indians, stuff like that.
The crazy thing is I didn't even know that was disrespectful. I just really didn't know that.
Kevin Hart didn't either. This came up for him. Wow. His kids had a cowboys and Indians. So even the term Indians is the incorrect term, right?
What's the correct term?
Native Americans. Because Indians came from Christopher Columbus thinking he had discovered India.
Really?
Yes. You didn't know? He was searching for India. He finds America. He's like, y'all is Indians. They was like, no, we're not. We're Native Americans.
Are you serious?
Yes. He thought he had discovered
India. So for all this time, people have been calling them, because people still call them Indians.
Yes.
I don't mean to say them like that, but, you know, Native Americans. And that was just off of a bot's place where he thought he was.
Yes.
Wow.
He thought he went this way. He went that way, but he was just like, in true white fashion, we're just going to keep what I said.
Wow.
So that was the name that stuck. So even like the Cleveland Indians logo, it's a, I think his name is Chief Wahoo. It's a character of red, the red skins, the all.
I always
of these,
thought Redskins was offensive. It's just, I know there's a big thing in the court. And
it's
all
absolutely,
that.
Offensive to Native Americans. Right. Dan Snyder just had enough money that he paid some people and was like, can y'all say this ain't, y'all ain't tripping? And they were like, all right, y'all ain't tripping.
Wow.
Right, that's essentially what happened, right? He paid for the, I mean, he just was like, I'm not changing the name.
Right.
So there's Native American tropes in all type of sports. I mean, really, it's a lot.
So by the rationale of what you're saying then, Robert Downey wouldn't be frowned upon, but the governor in Virginia would.
Okay, yes.
Because of how they put the paint on their face.
This now this may be upsetting to people, but I'm not going to lie to you for the sake of what I think people are saying is right.
Got it.
This is, to the best of our ability, our honest opinions on things.
That's all we give.
When I saw Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr.'s character was not offensive to me.
Then me neither.
It was funny. It was a character who was method acting.
I didn't even know initially that it was a different act. Somebody had to tell me, like, oh, that's da da da. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know.
You thought it was just a black dude?
Yeah. It was that good.
So the funny, and okay, so me and Tony were talking about this yesterday, and he was saying the reason why he wasn't offended was because Brandon T. Jackson's character was calling him out on it.
Oh, so it was like breaking the fourth wall almost, like you're not.
Yeah.
Right, I got it.
It's kind of like in the Boondocks, Riley's character. Mm-hmm. He's an example of people, mm-hmm. and he's designed to for you to see how silly people who think like this
got
are.
It. Right.
So that's kind of what they were trying to do with Tropic Thunder, mm-hmm. right? And I wasn't outraged. And the funny scene in that movie when he's like, man, somebody says something. He says, you people. Mm-hmm. Robert Downey Jr. goes, what do you mean, you people? And Brandon T. Jackson goes, what do you mean, you people? Right? So
that's a great line of dialogue.
It was very funny to me. Right. So, and on the flip side of that, when Martin, when Eddie, when Dave Chappelle.
That was one of Martin's favorite characters of mine in Martin.
White damn.
Hey, buddy. Funny.
Funny to me, yeah. right? So Tony said, he was like, I'm not offended by this, but I understand if you are. And I was like, I like that. Okay. Like, because I don't want to find offense in just everything. Like, I right. know we joked about this in the previous episode, right. but I don't want to just, like, I want to feel rightly or wrongly how I feel. Mm-hmm. I want to be educated and understand and then process information, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, there is a difference mm-hmm. between what the governor did, what Sarah Silverman does, which is the characterized version of blackface, right. and the comedic thing that Jimmy Fallon and Robert Downey Jr. and Jimmy Kimmel
right.
do, right? I don't feel like they were mocking black people in the sense of, like, you guys are buffoons and you have big lips and we're going to make fun of your dark skin and your features, mm-hmm. but we are going to, we're going to, you know,
but by imitate. That rationale, but by that rationale, then they begin to act black. And you know what I mean? So I could even say that with Robert Downey Jr.'s character, like, he was acting like a black man, like doing yeah. little different things that you would assume black people would
and
do.
And I can understand if you are a black person, if you're offended.
Can you understand if a white person gets offended?
I can understand if a white person gets offended when black people do it.
So if they see how, like, Martin did the white dude, then they could be like, white people ain't like that. That's disrespectful.
To me, there is a difference in mm-hmm. comedy. Maybe it's because I'm a comedian. Mm-hmm. And, it seems a little... I think there's a separation to me versus the mocking mm-hmm. of blackface with the red and the black.
That's just disrespectful and mean and comes from a dark place.
Yes.
Right.
And also, to be honest, and here maybe I even contradict myself, mm-hmm. you can be white and you can imitate Chris Brown or Chris Rock without coloring your skin brown, right? You could just do like the hand things and the voice without imitating him.
Oh, okay.
Without coloring your skin.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but
see, that's the thing. And this is just where I always, and I hate calling it devil's advocate because I'm not trying to play.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. But
it means you're just doing the opposite right. of something so, just because.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is that I think that it's unfair because you know how a lot of times, and I think you said this in the last episode, it was like, we get to joke about certain things. You don't
yeah.
get to. I kind of feel like white people should be able to feel the same way if they see, like, say, Marlon and Sean Wayans in White Chicks. That was a very stereotypical portrayal of how white women are,
yeah.
rich white women are.
Yeah.
So do white rich women not have the right to be like, yo, that's wild disrespectful? I think that they should.
I think they can.
Right. But I never see like that outrage.
No, I mean, a lot of times it's like, even in comedian, mm-hmm. as a comedian, right? We all have jokes of like, black people do this and this.
Right, right.
Because
right,
a lot
right.
of times it's rooted in like
right.
truth. You yeah. know, like I grew up in a black church and church was one way for me for my mm-hmm. whole life until mm-hmm. I moved to LA
and
I went to a different church and it was like, oh my gosh, like this really is different.
Fish out of water,
yes.
culture shock.
So right. I want to highlight these in my jokes because I see the difference.
Right.
But if a white comedian, like Gary Owen, for example, mm-hmm. he goes to white church, he had this really funny joke about when he first went to black church mm-hmm. and how when he was going to white church, they were out by 10. He's at Denny's, we're eating breakfast. You know, and right. he went to a black church with his wife. Mm-hmm. He's highlighting the difference and saying, man, this is up to 2-3 o'clock. I'm hungry.
Right.
They're talking back to the preacher. I'm like, hey, we don't do, why are you guys... You're interrupting him. You're
so that's being, just him giving his view of view, what's, what happened.
Right? He wasn't necessarily mocking
or being disrespectful.
He's saying, from my experience, church was one way. Mm-hmm. And then I go to church here with my black wife.
Mm-hmm. It's different.
And here's why that's funny.
And then that's where you find the jokes.
Right.
Right.
Jesse Duplantis, he's a white preacher, mm-hmm. right? He has a funny video where he's making fun of black preachers and how they hoop and holler and I want to tell somebody. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was hilarious. And it was because when I make fun of Joel Osteen, I'm like, oh, hey, guys. Like,
were
even that voice.
Were black people mad?
No. I mean,
there was no outrage about
it? I didn't see much. Okay. I mean, in the comments of the YouTube thing.
Right, right.
But, I mean, there are people always mad. Right. But I personally didn't find that offensive. Mm-hmm. I found that funny. I also don't mind laughing at myself.
Do you find offense to the all the way blackface with the red lips?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because that's not trying to be funny.
You're just being mean.
And that stereotype was very harmful to right. black people.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, and maybe I'm imagining this in my mind, but when you said something, you said about that Mammy character, mm-hmm. whatever. I remember watching cartoons back in the day, and I, for some reason, remember seeing things like that.
So,
like,
cartoons.
I think I remember seeing a black person with, like, a bone in their nose. Like,
bone in their
I've
nose.
I've seen some things.
Wild racist, right. eating watermelon.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay, here's a really interesting thing about the stereotype of watermelon, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we make fun of black people, like, right. you know, this
right. spit out the seeds.
Spit out the seeds. Right. So here's the interesting thing that I didn't know about. So when at the end of slavery, a lot of black farmers, they start owning their own land or they sharecrop their own land. Mm. And watermelon was one of the fruits that they could make and sold well. Mm-hmm. Right. So they're starting to make some money selling watermelons. Right. So now what happens is, they, you know, white people start to make watermelon, they create a negative connotation between black people and watermelon that hurts the sales of watermelons because wow. black people were having so much success selling
really?
Watermelon. Yeah, so that's where that, like, stereotype came from.
Wow.
So remember the black people are lazy.
Right.
Stereotype dates back to slavery. How could, if you ever just think about this, you have people working for free and you're calling them lazy.
I never thought of that like that.
We own you.
And you do the work
lazy.
For us.
There's these stereotypes of black people laying in the sun.
No. Yes. I never viewed it
yes.
like that.
Can you, like, what sense does
because
that
black
make?
People do have a reputation or a stereotype.
Stereotype.
Not a
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct that.
You're so afraid to get into being mad at you.
So there's a
he's
negative connotation about black people being lazy. I've always heard that, like, black people don't work.
Show up late to stuff. All
and they really were slave owners because they didn't want to do the work themselves.
Who's lazy? This is your land.
And then you beat and killed people to get that labor done.
Yes. You beat and wow. killed people to get the land, beat and killed people to keep the land, beat and killed people after slavery
that's
was over
very
and you already
interesting.
Had the land.
And then you just talk bad about them.
Yes.
Which leads to the second thing that we need to talk about on the docket. While we're on the heavy stuff, let's just get the heavy stuff out of the way. Gucci and Prada.
Okay.
Now, we did touch on this. We glazed over it other episode, but now we're going to talk about
yes.
it. Yes. How does this happen? And give me 2 seconds to have a quick little spell
I'll
about
let
this.
Let you have it.
I do not understand how in 2019, stuff like, and I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt and see the good in people.
Give them the Benny.
But I just don't understand, like, even with the coolest monkey in the jungle for the H&M ad last year, and then this ad, like, when you see the design doesn't even make sense. It doesn't look good if anyone wore it. So it's just like, you just want to be, and you had to know that this backlash was coming, and it's almost like you will forego that just to be disrespectful and be like, we don't rock with y'all. And I've never seen that at any point in my life. I'm 39 years old, and I've never seen blatant racism on a corporate level like that. And it's really scary.
My thing is, 100% agree with you.
For real.
I struggle to believe it's not done on purpose.
It cannot be.
There's just no way to me that you are that unaware. Hard to accept that you are a fashion house, luxury brand, and you know.
But no, see, I can't. And I normally give people the pass, and I normally be like, well, it could. But this has to be calculated. This just, I've heard little rumblings about some of these higher end companies like Gucci and Prada. They don't really like black people wearing their stuff. They feel like it cheapens their product.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so when you see somebody, like, I remember T.I. was doing a video back in the day, and he had, like, it was, I think the song was called Gucci something, like Gucci headband or whatever. And they shut it down. Like, no.
Gucci did?
Yes. They shut it down. He couldn't even.
I didn't know that.
So I just don't understand.
But then you hire, like, Gucci has an official relationship with Dapper Dan in Harlem.
To get that cool pass.
Get the cool pass because he had already been. In so many ways, black designers put those things on. Because Dapper Dan was dressing all the rappers in Gucci stuff in the early 80s, which was introducing it to the black culture, which made it cool. Virgil Abloh, he's the head of
Virgil dude from Adidas, right? He's the dude that helped Kanye. Is he like the genius behind Kanye?
Nike. Yeah, right. he was Kanye's
creative
director.
Everybody credits him for...
He does Off-White. Okay. He does Off-White, and he had his own streetwear... Oh, Off-White. It's his streetwear design, but he had the Pyrex stuff.
He's working for Louis Vuitton now.
Yeah, so now he's the head of menswear for Louis Vuitton,
right?
Which is a big powerhouse. So they know black designers make things cool, right? And black culture... solidifies a lot of cool stuff.
You would just think that it affects your bottom line. If you're a businessman, how does racism trump business?
That's what I can't figure
out. I don't understand that. Like, even, and that's my biggest thing. I'm never here to try to cure the world of whatever it's sick about. And what I mean by that is, if somebody's racist, I'm not here to come and talk to you and be like, don't be racist. Just don't do racist stuff. Like, you're allowed to have your own ideologies about whatever you want, whether they be right or wrong. I'm not here to go and push you on that. But I just don't understand, if you're in this for business, how that somehow finds its way into, that's affecting your money.
Yes.
And so it's like, I would rather disrespect you than get your money. Like,
yeah. Well, that's my thing. Like, here's
very puzzling to me.
Very puzzling. Here's the thing that I can say. I feel like they don't care. I just don't care what y'all think. I don't care about what offends you. Maybe they think we don't care if you buy it or don't buy it, but I don't care enough to respect you or what you think. Because you got, bro, you know, like that process of making that sweater that pulls up and then the lips are red.
And you know.
You know where you that know image comes saying. From.
You know.
Why would that even be a thing? And Prada, I think it was like a blackface design on the shoes.
And then they had the little keychain thing for the purses.
Yeah, the little black face doll.
Like,
what?
Like, I don't, that don't look good. So it doesn't even make sense into all the other stuff you're doing.
Either don't care, don't respect, or you're doing it on purpose to incite, like.
It has to be the last one. It can't be don't care and don't. No, it's you want to go out of your way.
You think
to
they want to offend people so you can
you
stop
buying
their stuff.
You have to. You can't just be like, there's no way that somebody pissed that and nobody. But on your staff was just like, yo, young brother.
But if they know that black people, they know black people decide what's cool because they bring in Dapper Dan and they bring in Virgil.
I have a theory. This is what I believe. Much like when the Trayvon Martin, when Trayvon Martin lost his life, and then the guy that Zimmerman killed him, people started up a whole GoFundMe. And was giving him tons of money.
Yeah.
So I believe this is a way that racists can announce that they're racist, and then other racist people will go and support that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So now I'm a racist. I'm a racist white man. I see what you just did. Now I'm going to go out and drop 4K on some stuff. So maybe it doesn't even to mess up their business, because there are races that exist and they're showing you, hey, because I don't see no outrage from no white people about this. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't see any powerhouse companies taking them to task. But I think
my problem.
I think the bigger even issue is this, and this is what I really wanted to say to you about this. What does this say about us as black people? Like, and what I mean by that is, we got a lot of boycotts going on. At this point, I need a planner to know what we're boycotting.
Let me tell you what. Gucci, Prada. Mm-hmm. So we talked about this in the last episode. Mm-hmm. My glasses.
Right.
Are Gucci and Prada.
Right. Why? Okay. But why? Tell me why you got to get Gucci and Prada.
Because I wanted to stunt.
See, and this is the thing.
I wanted to let me own up to my part of the problem.
Own it.
We all want to be cool. Right? Okay. We all want our people to think we dress cool, we have
got
style.
It.
When I worked at ADD, man, you remember it was
you was
a
buying
shoe
shoes all the time.
I didn't.
We talked about this the other day in the mall. Like, what's up with your shoe game? Like, I ain't around y'all no more,
bro. Josh will tell you, right? Josh put me on. Josh put me on a lot of stuff. Yo, Kev, NMDs is what's popping. Because at this time, remember, I was buying Huaraches and Air Max.
Right.
Josh was like, yo, NMDs are fire. I bought a pair, and I bought a pair for Sid. Mm-hmm. So now I buy a whole
then
bunch of those.
Then everybody started wearing them. And
then we all
thing.
Wearing NMDs, right? So then we got to elevate Yeezys. You know, we were buying Yeezys, and I got 4 pair. John got 3 pair.
It was a real competition.
Right? Then Virgil comes out with Off-Whites. To be quite honest, the red tag thing, I'm like, in my own head, I'm like, what? Why? I don't
then
get it.
How much did you spend on that one pair? Go ahead, let them know. Nah, man. You said you gonna own it.
Why?
You said you gonna own it. You ain't don't just tip your toe in the water. You get in the pool.
Six Hona
on some shoes?
On some Off-White Air Maxes. Because the people are saying they're cool. I'm going on Twitter. I don't know what Off-White is. It's Nike with like Helvetica font written Air and this red tag. People are saying it's cool. I didn't even know who Virgil Abloh was.
Where do you think that comes from? Like, what is it? And this is...
There's a rap song that says, it's in a black man's mind to shine. Part of it, I think...
You just want to stunt.
We all do.
We do.
It's keeping up with the Joneses.
I've absolutely... Don't let me...
Why do you have these fake...
These ain't fake.
Gold.
Because I want to seem like I have it.
But we know you got it from the middle of the mall.
Hey, first of all, don't disrespect my kiosk. That's what it is called. But this is the thing that I think that's going on in the black community. This is the thing that I think that's going on.
Percival Chains.
In the black community. And I've always thought this, but now.
Don't hide them.
Okay. No, I'm just trying to tone them because I don't want you to see the back end of them. Because they're lit on the other side. Anyway. So did you have. Okay. So the common plight of the common rapper. Ex-rapper. We won't even say any names. Comes from impoverished. You know, neighborhoods, broke, doesn't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Starts rapping. Yes. Starts to gain some momentum.
Yes.
Gets a record deal.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he gets some money.
Yeah.
And kind of taunts and shuns the people in the ghetto. Buy stuff like Gucci and Prada because they know you can't afford it. Even though I came from there, now I want to sit here and call you a broke boy and this and that and the third.
Yes.
I think it's that. Is the reason why we get disrespected by big companies.
But that,
I feel like it's self-hatred.
But I think
say that it's not, but why else would you do it?
I'm telling you, if you would let me talk.
I want you to talk.
It's as American as capitalism. I can have a house, but if my neighbor has a bigger house, I want a bigger house. If I got a regular lawnmower, he got a riding lawnmower, I got to get a riding lawnmower. He got a mini picket fence. I got to get a big picket fence. He got the new Cadillac. I got to get the Cadillac with tinted windows. That's the capitalistic thing. Like I'm all.
And so you think it's less cultural and more societal?
I feel like within black people, we do it, but I don't feel like we're the only ones who do it because white people buy Gucci and Prada and stunt and Mexican people buy Gucci and Prada and stunt.
But see, I also feel like they also stick together. I seen an interesting tweet that made me really think. And it said, brothers will go out and spend $10,000 in a Gucci store for somebody who hates them and will insult them. And then you'll go to a black owned business and ask for some free tickets or some free merchandise or a hookup. Mm-hmm. Why is that? I don't understand that about us. And I know that I'm part of the problem, probably.
I as a business owner am selling this shirt.
Right.
This shirt's not for sale. Mm-hmm. This is not Champion's logo. Mm-hmm. This is just a mock-up of what a shirt could look like if it were for sale.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not for sale on my website. I would never sell that.
$29.99.
Why would I?
No.
Never.
If you don't want one, then go there and see if it's there and buy it.
But so... I forgot where I was going because that joke was so funny.
I was just saying that why is it that we'll go and spend $10,000 in the Gucci store?
So I actually, that's one thing that I've never been on.
Right.
Like
you're very supportive of all businesses. Right?
And I like small business owners and I support white people as well. Mm. But Meech releases a hoodie. I bought every You Matter hoodie of the last 4 or 5 drops.
I've seen you do that.
Cashmere.
Let me tell you a funny
story. Hold on. Let me a couple more black designers. Mm-hmm. Cashmere. 8. VIII. Bought all types of shirts from her. John Jenkins bought his shirts. You know, Toby bought his hoodies and his exclusive hoodies. Like, I know what it's like to need that income.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to bring the black dollar in. You seen Killer Mike?
Yes. I haven't seen it, but I've heard some great things about it. Cripple Cola. I knew.
The black dollar stays in the community not that long. He was actually in. So I went to Tulsa last week. We were talking about Black Wall Street. Are you familiar with Black Wall Street?
Yeah, that was the Renaissance in Harlem, was it that happened?
No,
that happened?
It was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's where I said I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So it was one of the richest black neighborhoods in
the, I was thinking about the Harlem Renaissance.
Yeah, okay. United States.
Okay.
So apparently at this time, there was no... Oklahoma was not integrated into the United States yet. So people could buy land relatively cheap from the federal government because people was like, bro, don't nobody care about Oklahoma.
Okay.
Then a whole bunch of black people bought it. And because of segregation, apparently, and this is what's in the Killer Mike episode, segregation helped the black community. Right. This is what the lady who said in Oklahoma, because you couldn't go anywhere else. You couldn't buy groceries at a white grocery store.
So you had to support
the Green Book. You had to go in the black community and buy stuff. But in so the lady in Tulsa was telling us, white people also came. White people could go back and forth.
Right. They would still come and spend their money.
So she was like, during Black Wall Street, the hot clubs, the hot acts, they're all in the black neighborhoods. So white people would come in and spend their money. Mm-hmm. Black people would kept the money in there.
They had to.
So black people, black businesses, black banks all rise. Okay. Mm. Gets too big, too powerful. White people is like, oh, no.
Stop that.
We want this land.
Much like with the watermelon effect.
Yes. They literally bomb Tulsa.
I did not know this.
Start riots. Destroy. So here's the thing. All the black-owned banks, they have the money. Like literal cash. People have their money under their mattresses or in the black banks, right? They literally had the money in the banks. They burned the banks down. Imagine keeping all your cash in your mattress. Whatever's not in the bank is at home.
You know I know about keeping cash under the mattress. I was doing that 2 years ago.
American. Imagine your house burns down and your bank burns down. See? Now you have no money, right? So that's what happens. And then when segregation ends, black people can go anywhere, and now the black dollar goes out of the black community, right?
See, when I hear stuff like that, and then stuff like this happens in 2019, because, you know, I'm always preaching equality, and let's all get along, let's let laughter bring us together. But when I hear stories like this that I did not even know about, or I hear stories about, you know, the CIA being involved in dropping guns in the hood in L.A. in the crack era and the crack epidemic, it really starts to start, or when you even watch the 13th, you know, on Netflix, 13, yep. You really start to feel like this is a systematic setup for us to just keep losing. That's how you really start to feel.
And that's why in the last episode, you asked me why I go for everything black, because the system is designed to hold us down.
And now I'm starting to see that. And now I, for right now, I just had the moment of clarity of why my comments upset so many people. And I see that now. Moments of
learning.
That's just crazy. People, because
so here's the thing. Let me stay on that point, because I saw a comment where a white person was mad at my comment about Demi Lovato. Like, I feel like you hate me because you don't allow me to join in your culture. It's not hate,
right?
Okay. Some things are not for people. Now I'll give you an example within black culture.
Okay.
I am born in El Paso, Texas. I do not know my African heritage.
Right.
Okay. Neither. I have friends like Yvonne and Lovey who are Nigerian. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know Yvonne, they're both, they're into Nigerian culture. They're like first generation. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they have Nigerian weddings have these customs. There's these food. There's these things. They have inside jokes and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Nigerian culture. So
you can't join in.
I can't join in. I can't make fun of them the way I can make, because that Nigerian culture is not something that I'm privy to. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't go into Nigerian culture and say, oh, y'all, whatever the joke may be, or whatever the customs that may be that a true Nigerian person could make fun of. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't feel comfortable jumping in and making those jokes.
I'll give you an example.
Same thing with
the gay
community.
Right. Because you just don't know those. I'll give you another one.
It's not my space to join in and feel like, well, I can jump in and say whatever I want.
It's just a joke. Right.
Just a joke. Y'all say it all the time. That's not me. If we're both fat, right? And I make fun of you and the fact,
women call each other the B word. Another example, a mutual friend that we have, Nate Jackson. I knew Nate Jackson before I moved out to LA. And I remember there was like a show, and it was like, cause you know, he's really into, I don't even know the name of his, I always get them mixed up. There are fraternities and then there's
sororities.
Men's is fraternities, right? Yes. And I remember, and so he belongs to one of them. I don't know which one.
I mean, no, he belongs to the Omegas.
And Tony's I was just joking, and like I said something because they would do something like, I think the girls or something like, I'm not even going to imitate it.
But they
take it. He was like, nah, though. Like, and me and Nate have always been cool. He pulled me to the side like, though, like on some serious stuff, like, don't do that again, bro. People get knocked out.
So
that.
I did a show with Nate and I'll just say a famous comedian.
Okay.
Because Josh never wants us to say names.
Okay.
We're performing at the Omegas celebration for however many years it was, right? So Nate's Greek and he's an Omega. Mm-hmm. There are certain jokes he can make because
he is
a part of that fraternity, mm-hmm. right? So it's called throwing up the hooks. I'm not going to do it. But when they throw up their signal, if you haven't crossed the sands, which is like the initiation into this group, you cannot throw up the signal.
You can't do it. Right.
You can't make the sound. You can't throw up the hook. Uh-huh. So Nate's ripping these jokes. There's a lot of inside jokes. I do my set. Mm-hmm. I leave all that Greek stuff alone.
Because you know better.
Because I died a death at a Greek event. Because remember I told you my worst bomb ever at UW. I've said it. I called the fraternity by the wrong name.
Oh, okay. Right? So you knew better.
So I knew, like, I'm not going to touch that at all because I don't know enough to make fun of it.
Right.
Famous comedian comes up, kills his set. Mm-hmm. His closer is rocking. He throws up the hooks. The room is dead silent.
What?
People looked at him like they would fight him. Like, literally. And he's famous, been on TV and stuff.
You got to tell me.
Nate told us before, like, bro, don't do that. Just don't make fun of that stuff. Right? And that's the example that I would tell that lady. Everything is not for you. Some things you can watch from the sideline and realize that that's not your place.
And you said that. That's
within Black culture, there are some things that I'm not privy to that, like, same thing if you're my boy. Like, I can make fun of you, but if somebody disrespects you, you might. ADD, perfect example. Mm-hmm. We roast each other all the time for Roast Me. Mm-hmm. People I don't know try to roast me in my comments. Bro, that ain't for
you. I don't know you.
We not boys.
Exactly.
Don't come up and roast me. Mm-hmm. Like, we're friends. It's funny because this is my friend. If I don't know you, it's not funny. You might get socked.
Facts first.
It could be whatever.
And they don't understand that. People also don't get that because somebody actually tweeted me the other day and they was going in on Pat. And they were like, yo, how dare you make fun of Doughboy and his sobriety? You're a piece of trash. And da-da-da. I'm like, I had to check, dude. Like, Pat's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Pat was one of the few people that I talked to before I went into rehab. So you just, that actually makes perfect sense because you said that last episode and I didn't really get it until now when you said you are a guest of Black culture. I see it now in the parallels of what you're saying.
Yeah.
You don't get to do this.
You should.
And there's probably things that you do that I can't get in on. It,
for everyone.
I get it now.
And it's even within our culture.
Right.
Your everything is not for everyone. Exactly. Some things you just be like, that's not my
I'm going to leave that alone.
And that's what you have to do. So we said all that to say, going back to blackface, that's how we got there. Mm-hmm. And but even within Black culture, we don't do
blackface. That. Right.
Right.
I ain't never seen a Black person in blackface.
No. So if I were you,
just don't do that.
It's never going to end well for you.
It's not. And just let it go. Like, it's not going to further you. No one's going to think you're a genius. Nobody's going to be like, oh, that was just great. Like,
so no. I don't want to go too far into this.
No, you go in there.
We're supposed to be talking about funny stuff today.
Okay, we go in there, though.
The N-word, right? So there's always this discussion on who can say it and why people feel like I should be able to say it. Mm-hmm. And my question is to you, why? Mm-hmm. Why do you want to say a word that you, white people invented the word? Mm-hmm. They invented the derogatoriness of it. Mm-hmm. Black people took it back.
Made it something that we liked.
We took the pain away from it.
Took the sting out of it.
Right? And maybe we should say it or maybe we shouldn't. This is not the discussion for today.
Right.
But whether I say that to you, why do you want to be able to join in it and say it? Right? What is it about this word that you want? And sometimes I just feel like, you just want to be able to do everything.
But see,
I want to finish this thing. Why is it so hard for there to be something that you shouldn't say? Mm. Whether you can or not, why should you want to be able to say everything? I got no problem with my boundaries. Mm-hmm. If I'm not gay, mm-hmm. if a gay person calls another gay person the F word and they don't trip,
that's them.
I don't jump in and say, well, they get to say it. Why do I want to say that?
I think I have the answer now.
I'd like to hear it.
And it goes back to what you just said about, you know, hey, if I get a house, if my neighbor gets a bigger house, I want a bigger house. Or if I got, he has the more. You have to also understand, Black people as a whole, we're very influential.
Yeah.
We start a lot of trends.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the cool thing to do. Like, you can even see something like, you know, cornrows. Like, you know what I'm saying? Black women been doing that for years. Kim Kardashian does it. Oh my. Mm-hmm. They are just enamored with the culture. Just like
Fortnite.
That
white.
Just the dances.
Fortnite.
It's just, you know, so I feel like people just
literally.
I feel like people just be wanting to be down. Like almost like, remember when Kendrick Lamar brought the white girl on stage and then she said the N word and everybody like gave her. But it's like, you're singing the song, like, and I'm not saying she should say it or shouldn't say it, but I think the reason why non-Black people would want to say it is just because they want to fit in and be cool. But I watch a lot of World Star Hip Hop. I know you probably don't. You know what I'm really starting to notice?
What?
Because they do like a lot of fighting clips on there. I watch them. I probably shouldn't. Sometimes I turn away when people start getting stomped, but it's my thing. But I have noticed there's a lot of young non-Black people saying the N-word, and when they say it when they're like doing violent things like fighting. Like, they'll get ready to fight, and then all of a sudden, it's a bunch of N-bombs dropping. So I don't know if that's association with negativity with the word, but I think overall, it's just people just be wanting to fit in. But white people, it's not going to make you fit in saying the N-word.
Here's
and
my thing.
Cancel that and the black.
Here's my thing. People always say, why can't I say it?
Because I said so.
Here's what, No. Here's my thing. Okay. This might go the wrong way. Say it and be ready for the consequences. Because sometimes you say something you shouldn't say and you get socked in the mouth.
It happens.
Sometimes you lose your job. Remember that? This wasn't the N-word, but this white PR lady for this company was like, she tweeted, she was on a flight to Africa, and she tweeted right when she took off, I'm on my way to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS, right? 14-hour flight.
I didn't mean to laugh at that.
By the time she landed, she was fired. So they lighting her up, and she has no internet access.
And so she probably wasn't even famous. It just went viral.
She was, people found her job. You know how black Twitter be.
So before she could get touch feet in the motherland.
Before she touched Africa, she was fired. When she landed, she finds out she's dragged on the internet and lost her PR job. Say it. Watch what happens. Say your little joke.
Get it off.
Because sometimes somebody's going to come and pull up and punch you in the mouth. Sometimes it's going to cost you your job. Keep that same energy.
Okay. Not a devil's advocate moment again. But I be having a problem with people losing their jobs.
You really shouldn't.
Okay. Let me, because I will get drugged again. Okay. Listen, if a bad joke is a bad joke, it's a bad joke. I get it. You probably shouldn't have made it. It was in poor taste. She's probably on a flight. Probably having a couple drinks. I get what she was probably trying to say. I'm not sticking up for her. But geez, but I think that you're right in
Here's
the sense
thing,
of
though, you
don't got, play though.
You there's consequences for there's your consequences actions. You can do actions. Whatever you, you want to do.
Say it. You're right. I think that's a really good. They should make that a shirt. Say it. Just say it. Say it. Just because you don't know how far it can go.
Here's the thing, man. At your job, right? Think about the BET tweet.
Yeah.
You said that girl deserved to be fired.
I did.
Why doesn't the girl who said I'm going to Africa to get she AIDS does. Deserve to be fired?
She does. You're right.
You sometimes you don't learn until you have the consequences of the action.
That's
your
really
learning
true.
Lesson shouldn't always be, hey, that's bad. You had a job. You said something you shouldn't have said.
Now you
knew
don't have
better.
A job.
Now you don't have a job. Now let your bank account be your lesson. I don't want to have to teach you what you shouldn't say.
But to clear that, when I said that the girl, whoever tweeted that off BET, I'm saying that because you're tweeting from a multi-million-dollar company.
That girl was PR for, I mean, I know you didn't know
that. I didn't know that part.
Okay, she was a PR for a big company.
Oh, okay. So then, but if that would have just been off of her personal, but it was off her personal account.
But the thing is, though.
Just don't do it.
You represent, okay, I'm going to give you a perfect example, right? Say you're on the Real Comedians social media tour, right? I'm a clean comedian. Everybody works with me. It's clean.
Yeah.
Right? You say some wild stuff on Twitter, right? Something that reflects so poorly on you that it reflects poorly on me. Please believe you're off that tour.
We're friends.
I don't care.
I text you every morning.
And you won't be anymore.
You're my best friend.
Not if you say that. If you have some domestic
And we're
dispute,
friends.
If you, Tony, to hear... have something that you do in your personal life
that affects
my bottom line as a business owner, you will be off the tour.
Whew.
And that's my word.
I know. I can hear the conviction
you
in your
will
voice.
Because now you messing with how with I feed
those two.
12 and 10.
Yeah, and they eat. I babysat for them.
They came in the kitchen.
Zay, when he gets out of school, is like a man out of solitary. I haven't eaten in months.
So,
yeah, I get it.
Should you lose your job? Maybe, maybe not.
Say
you
it.
Will, though.
Right.
If you do something that's ridiculous, Righteous and Ratchet is over.
This is over.
Done.
Today.
Episodes, like, for real.
Get it. I understand that.
And same thing goes for me.
Right.
When I'm working for ADD, if I do something that reflects so poorly on the company that they look bad for employing me, you got to understand that that's...
And to be honest, that was another reason, one of the main... Actually, probably the number one reason why I stopped drinking, because I knew I was a ticking time bomb. I knew as many passes as I was getting, eventually a conversation wasn't going to fix it. A heartfelt email wasn't going to fix it. I remember this.
You know what was about to get you fired for me?
What?
I'm going to tell you what it was. me keeping you mm-hmm. was reflecting poorly on me. Yeah. People had started to come to me and be like, you know what, Kev? Your love for Doughboy as a friend is reflecting poorly on your leadership skills. Because if he wasn't your boy, you would have let him go. You fire people before for doing what he has done. And he still has his job and she or he doesn't. And when you let him pass, we lose respect and faith with you. And that's what I told you when I almost fired you was because that was I had just right. had that conversation.
Right, right.
And somebody had just pulled me to the side. Mm-hmm. Like, you do realize you won't let that fly for nobody else but him. And that's when I told you.
I got no more rope for you.
You are now making me
that makes so,
look bad.
Sometimes I'm and the type
are,
of
and if you make me hold on, you make me look bad. You're taking food out of 12 and 10.
And I knew that.
Because now they go tell my boss, Kev is compromised.
Mm-hmm.
He's letting this dude do this for whatever reason. Like you, love you, hate you. These other people don't care. They want it fair across the board.
And that's the crazy thing about what you're saying is sometimes I'm a visual learner and like sometimes something has to be put very simply. But you explaining that right now, just like that, makes me understand why people lose their jobs and even more when they make stupid decisions.
Because if you back,
because it's not
person,
just you.
Because okay, I'm gonna give you another example, right? Racist person X.
Mm-hmm.
On either side, right? Mm-hmm. Laura Ingraham, for example, Fox News person. I don't remember what she said. Something racist. The advertisers, people on Twitter start hitting up the advertisers of her show. Mm-hmm. Y'all should drop her because she does this and that. Mm-hmm. Drop her. So advertisers start pulling out, right? Now the producer of that show says, if we don't have ads,
We can't pay you. Right.
Your show's canceled. Roseanne didn't lose her job because ABC hated or loved her. She lost her show because advertisers would not advertise on her show. You don't get fired because we don't agree or disagree with your comments. You get fired because you affect my bottom line.
Whew.
Which leads us
to our
next topic.
You're talking.
Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
And Kareem Hunt. The reason Colin Kaepernick.
Let's give that some context.
Everybody knows Colin Kaepernick.
But not a lot of people know Kareem Hunt.
I know. I'm going to tell you. Colin Kaepernick kneeled.
Right.
Right.
Against police brutality.
Police brutality. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. The reason he is blackballed, in my opinion, mm-hmm. isn't because the NFL thinks one way or another about police brutality. Oh. It's because the NFL.
Hold on one second.
Do you have a cramp?
Yes, out.
You got to drink some more water. Colin Kaepernick is out of the NFL.
Right.
Not because
he's a bad quarterback.
Not because he's a bad quarterback.
Right.
He's out of the NFL mm-hmm. because the vocal people in, we'll call it middle America, who really support the NFL, believe what he's doing is wrong.
Mm.
And if he continues to play, they are not going to support that team. I'm going to tell you how the NFL works and why they don't care about Colin Kaepernick or Kareem Hunt.
Right.
They care about the bottom line.
Uh-huh.
If the majority of the people buying tickets, buying beer at stadiums, buying jerseys, playing fantasy football, if the majority of them believe Colin Kaepernick should be in the league,
he'd be there.
He'd be in the league. The reason he's not getting signed isn't because he's a good quarterback or bad quarterback. Uh-huh. It's because if you sign him, people are going to boycott the team. The Ravens thought about signing him. People were like, I'll never watch another game. I won't buy a jersey. I won't do this and that. The Ravens, same thing as Terrell Owens. Whether you're good or not doesn't matter.
Right.
If I think you coming on my team
is going to affect my bottom line.
Cost me money.
So then by that rationale, are you not upset that he's out of the league or does that make you more upset?
I'm absolutely upset.
And now I think I finally understand why everybody's so upset about this.
Yes, because the NFL doesn't care about the issues or not.
Now I can really see where the frustration and the angst comes against the NFL because it's like you can take this man's career away from him. And at this point now, it's almost too late. It's been 3 years since he's been out of the league now, right?
I believe so.
So now it's like you took almost the best years of his career. So his career is going to be over for taking a stand or taking a knee for social injustice. But then you got a guy like Kareem Hunt. Now let's talk about Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is a running back for the Kansas City Chiefs mm-hmm. on videotape. Assaulting a female.
Yes,
a woman. He lost his job immediately once but see, that was another thing. The team knew about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't cut him until the tape came out.
Of course.
Same thing with Ray Rice. They knew about that the whole year before.
Yep.
So
it's and like, Greg Hardy, who beat up his girlfriend and tossed her on a bed of guns, literally, that's just, not figuratively,
right?
Literally tossed her on a bed of assault rifle. Like, he had guns on a bed and threw her on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gets signed to the Cowboys. And here's why Kareem Hunt got signed. Mm-hmm. Greg Hardy got signed. Because the NFL, the vocal people don't care enough about what happens to women to stop supporting their team.
And it seems like they almost have a dislike enough for black people or black issues.
Well, it's... Wait, what do you mean?
Because Colin Kaepernick can't play because he was standing up for social injustice in America. He can't play anymore because there was enough people or it affected the bottom line enough to where people were like, we don't want to touch him, blah, blah, blah. But then when you have women getting assaulted or different things like that, it's like, oh, but can he play?
Yes.
That's
and
scary.
That's what I that's told scary. You in a couple episodes about. Before Colin Kaepernick, my problem with the league was player safety, the CTE thing, and how they handled, like, Josh Brown, white dude, kicker for the Giants. He beat his wife, and they knew about it. And he then, stayed employed for a long time.
And then you
until
got
it became super like, y'all, it's bad. You should. But it's not that he beat his wife. He got cut and nobody knew about it. Right. It's that the reports were so vocal that it looks bad.
The more that we talk about situations like this, and this is what we were even talking about when we had the cameras turned off, we don't even mean to be talking about all these heavy different things, but the world is just in such a state where there's just a lot of
it's the
hate.
Headlines.
Like,
it's the headlines. The blackface stuff was like dominated the internet over the last 10, 14
the Gucci
days.
Prada thing as well.
Gucci Prada, it's like all anybody's talking about. Right. So it's like, I feel like I'm avoiding it if we don't talk about
it. We got to talk about the things that happen, but it's just almost very scary and sad when you start to think about the state of affairs and race tension. Like I said, I'm 39 years old. I've never seen racial tension this high. And I'm older, so that's just crazy for me to be seeing it now. But I guess it's just...
You're only 4 years older than me.
Yeah, but I mean, can you ever recall a time where you've seen racism as blatant as you see it now?
Oh, no.
I don't ever remember, like, brands doing racist things.
Well, Tommy Hilfiger, when I was coming up, said he didn't want black people wearing his stuff.
And that's one thing to say, but could you imagine...
Timberland said the same thing.
But could you imagine them coming out with a piece of apparel mocking black people? That's just a step even further. Yeah. Like, geez. So, I guess how we'll put a button on that and end that off... The NFL, I think I'm finally on the other side of it now. Like, I'm just kind of over it. Like, and you know, and even even coming here, like, I was thinking, like, yo, I don't want to say I was going to defend Kareem Hunt, but I was even going to, you know, well, no, I can still say how I truthfully feel about that. Do you feel as if sometimes we hold celebrities and athletes to a different standard than we hold regular people?
Here's
when they make
honestly,
because I think because now people are starting to protest the Brown. Because the Brown, what happened was Kareem Hunt. He assaulted a young lady on camera. He got released by the Chiefs. And then today, the Browns signed him. And now there is some outrage. And people are like, how could you pick that guy up? He did these
and
things.
And also, let's let the record reflect. The reason Kareem Hunt said he hit this woman, just because this is always comes up, is because she called him the N-word.
Several times to his
and
face.
Yes. So that and at even, first, we people thought it was a domestic violence thing.
It wasn't DV.
And it was just regular assault.
Right.
And I saw an interesting take on this situation, right? Mm-hmm. Because everything's not black and white. Some things are gray. Mm-hmm. They said that Kareem Hunt, yes, it is wrong that the woman said that stuff to him, right? But he should know that white women are rarely held accountable for their actions in America. And that his response should cost him his job. So he shouldn't have been in that position. But if you respond in that way, then you should lose your job.
But see,
and that's not right that she should. It's not that she should be allowed to say that to him. Mm-hmm. It's that if you respond in that way, this is what happens. Road rage, perfect example to me. Mm-hmm. We're driving. You cut me off. Mm-hmm. Right. I rightfully have a right to be upset at you.
Right.
But if I run you off the road,
you're going to jail for attempt.
And you get hurt,
you're causing a charge.
And no, you shouldn't have cut me off. Mm-hmm. But my response, if it causes you harm in some way or you die or whatever, then that doesn't absolve me of my actions.
Right. This is the only thing that I think I kind of fall on a different take on that is because I look at it like this. Now, is hitting a woman ever right? No. Can't find a reason for it to be. I actually feel putting your hands on anybody is wrong. We're adults. Figure out a way to, you know what I mean? I haven't had a fight since I was 19 years old. You can do it. Mm-hmm. So with a situation like Kareem Hunt, young kid, I believe he's under 25, young guy. Now, did he make a horrible mistake? Absolutely. Should he be punished by the law, first off? Should he go through the court systems? Absolutely. Should he be disciplined by his team up and not even limiting to being released from that team? Yes. But a man that has spent his whole life becoming a professional athlete, kind of how the world is with the cancel culture, would just say, you will never work again. Well, and that's something that I kind of feel like, if it was like that for the whole rest of the world, half of the world would be unemployed. If you made a mistake, put your hands on somebody, God forbid, and then you can't never go work in your line of work again, I feel like that's extreme.
Well, here's an example. Michael Vick.
Right.
He had the dogfighting thing.
He did.
He served his time in prison, rightfully so. He
perfect example.
Then applied for reinstatement. Uh-huh.
Reinstatement of a league,
into the NFL.
They gave it to him.
And they gave it to him.
Right.
I didn't have a problem with him playing after that because what he did was wrong. He acknowledged it. Mm-hmm. He served his time legally.
Paid his debt to society.
Paid his debt. Same thing with people who go to prison.
Right.
They do what's wrong. They pay their debt. They come out. I don't think you should hold them.
Absolutely.
Right. Now on the same side of that, if you are a sexual offender, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You say you were
a preschool teacher. No, you can't
whatever,
do that. Right.
You cannot do that job
anymore
because you doing that job potentially puts you in harm's way with your previous
history.
So you can't do everything.
Right.
But should you be able to make a living, you should be able to
I'm like, Kareem Hunt is a football player. He can't just all of a sudden be like, I'm going to go sell insurance then. Like, no, like this
he could, absolutely.
But what I'm saying is, this is what he's dedicated his life to.
But
and I understand it was a heinous mistake.
Well, here's my thing.
Shouldn't have happened. I just don't like the whole, you should never be able to work.
Okay, let me give an example. Might change your mind. Kevin Spacey dedicates his whole life to acting. Okay? Mm-hmm. He does something.
He's one of my favorite actors, too.
Yes.
Beautiful Mind is one of my favorite movies of all time.
He's not in that.
No, not A Beautiful Mind. No, he isn't A Beautiful Mind.
No, he's not.
Kevin Spacey?
No, that is Russell Crowe.
No. What was the movie American Beauty? I'm sorry.
American Beauty.
I'm sorry. Sure. I messed the name up. American Beauty.
Kevin Spacey.
Yes.
Loved
right.
Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
Kaiser Soze.
Yes.
House of Cards.
Great.
But your job is to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. Your job is to bring people to watch your show.
Right.
Your actions prevent you from doing that the way you used to do that. So can you find a job in America? Sure.
You just can't do that no
more. The job that you had is no longer available to you.
You are making perfect sense this episode.
And that
makes, when you say it like that.
Right?
That makes sense.
You can no longer do this job.
And when you look at it and you quantify it to a Kareem Hunt and you break down all of the other things that we're saying, ticket holders, and now the audience, the buying public knows this.
I'm gonna stop you, and I hate to cut you off. I'm gonna tell you why Kareem Hunt has a job. Uh-huh. Because people don't care enough about what happens to women. Yeah, it's kind of bad, but am I gonna not go to a Browns game? At this point, what Kareem Hunt can do, and I'm purposely not saying whether I think he should be in or out. What I'm saying is why he has a job. Because at this stage in his career, what he can bring to a Browns fan outweighs the harm he can do to the team.
And then that's where the problem comes.
That
with the
coach
league.
Weighed the options. He knows that. Okay, Big Irish had a perfect example. Somebody else actually. Mm-hmm. Kenan Baker.
From Saturday Night Live?
No, Kenan Baker.
Oh, our friend.
Man. Yeah.
Okay.
San Francisco 49ers fan. Mm-hmm. When Kaepernick was playing in the league, okay, he's at the game.
Right.
Kaepernick's still playing quarterback. Mm-hmm. Kaepernick kneels. Mm-hmm. They boo the crap out of him. Okay? He comes in the game, fourth quarter. He has he leads them to victory. He was saying the same people that were booing him, we're cheering when he scored a touchdown. They same group of people. He said a group of white people, a group of Mexicans, all booing the crap out of him at the beginning of the game. When he's scoring touchdowns, they conveniently forget that. Because now your touchdown is more important than what I hate or like about you. Same thing with racism back in the day, man. People were racist. They still, when black players could score a touchdown, they got to go to Alabama. Super racist.
Wait. What?
When you can score touchdowns, how I feel about you.
Oh, then you can go to wherever.
Okay. Yes, okay. Because once these all-black teams start wiping the floor with you, think about Glory Road, the UTEP team. He started all five black players. Once that team wins national championship, you're like, okay, look.
We got. We know we hate him, but we need one.
He got five.
Right. He got five of them.
Feel how you feel. They are dunking on us.
Right. We got to even the playing field.
That doesn't mean I like you.
I mean, that brother didn't used to be able to play in the NBA.
Yes. That doesn't mean I like you. I want to win, and you give me a better opportunity to win. That's why you're on my team. So this is, I bring this back because people were saying that Liam Neeson can't be, Michelle Rodriguez said this, Liam Neeson can't be racist because he kissed Viola Davis in the mouth.
I hated that when she said that. What was the dumbest thing I've heard. And I say a lot of stupid stuff.
Let me tell you something. Where do you think light-skinned people came from? Huh? Slave owners raping black women. Ugh, just because you're my slave.
See, when you initially said it, I thought you just meant like interracial couples.
No, it
actually came
from. Everybody, when you came from Africa, we were all these people were dark-skinned. When a baby was born, the state of the mother determined slave or free. If your mother was a slave, the baby is a slave. Doesn't matter who the father is. The mother was a slave. Yes. If the mother was a slave,
the baby's a slave.
The baby is automatically a slave. So now when I'm your slave master, if I rape you, have sex with you, and you get pregnant, you've just given me another free
slave,
another laborer.
I will call lazy, even though I'm going to put him or her to work.
Yes. Jeez, I can literally have sex with you, and this affects my bottom line in a positive way. You have no rights. You can't sue me. You can't run away. You can't do nothing.
And I own the baby.
I own my son or daughter. I can pass my daughter off to my children.
And they can own.
There were slaves that were
Where did you learn that? Did you like
college
that in a book?
College? I went to college I studied.
They didn't teach us that in high school.
No, they don't. I learned what you learn in U.S. history in high school.
Right.
You would never learn the truth until you read. You don't have to go to college to learn this stuff. But if you read, you'll learn it. So in college, I was reading the assigned text. And then I got interested to start reading more stuff. Right. A lot of Equianos, Frederick Douglass. I mean, just that, bro. So the term passing, right? There were slaves that were, they were so white, they passed as slave owners. Like, okay, so okay, say I'm black. Right. I'm from Africa. I'm dark skinned. Okay. Right? My master's white, has sex with my mom. I'm a mixed kid.
Okay.
Okay? Right? Mm-hmm. Now, when I come of age, so now I'm half black, half
white. Half and half, right.
Okay? That next generation has another white man gets this person pregnant. Mm-hmm. That baby is now a quarter black.
Quarter black.
Three quarters white.
White.
Okay.
Still a slave, though.
Still a slave.
Because it's a quarter.
Yeah. So the rule was 1/16. If you had 1/16 of black blood.
You're slave.
You were slave. So you have to go down, I think that's 8 generations. Right? Wow. So now I'm a quarter black. Mm-hmm. Go down another thing.
Now
I'm an eighth black. You know how fair that person's skin is?
Very fair.
You can't even tell. Sometimes their hair is straight. Their skin is super fair, right? So they were passing as black, as white as slave owners. They'd make fake freedom papers, and they smuggle black people out. That's how slavery worked, right? So
I need to read a book. I feel like I'm just learning. You knew this, Josh?
Josh
didn't know either. Okay, cool.
Well, I don't know that much about Mexican culture. But you're not alone. And there's a lot of, I'm not doing this to make you feel bad.
I'm glad you're doing it because I didn't know.
I'm not doing this to make you feel bad.
I don't feel bad. I just feel like, wow, I don't know anything.
Yes. Right. But it was interesting to me in college. That's why I took literally as many African-American history or study classes as I could take. And that's why I don't really argue about race with people online, because it's like, if you don't have the same knowledge as someone, there's really no point to argue with that person. And I'm not even talking about me. I'm going to use you an example that I saw on Twitter yesterday. Mm-hmm. Woman a woman doctor was talking about the difference between a vulva and a vagina.
A car and a vagina.
Vulva, not vulva.
What is a vulva?
It's a part of the reproductive system.
Oh, okay? I thought you meant like a four-door sedan. I'm like, they're the safest cars on the market. All right, but go ahead.
So this man is telling this gynecologist woman, stop calling a vagina a vulva. You're just using a different word. And she's like, no, like,
it's a different,
part. He's like, you don't know what you're talking about. She tweets him a picture. No, look, here's the vagina. And here's the vulva. Oh, boy, you women, you just
don't get it.
You know how dumb you look telling a woman who has a body part that they don't know what they're talking about? What's her point of even arguing with you? You're arguing about something you have no idea about. We don't have, she's a doctor in this field and also a woman.
She's a doctor. So she owns one and she studies them.
And studies it. And he was like a journalist.
Right.
And but he was arguing her down of something he had no idea about. That's why I very rarely get into race debates with people, because the research that I've done, you haven't done that research. So you're generally just spouting out stuff.
And you're just saying what you think sounds right.
You're just saying stuff like black on black crime. Right. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
All lives matter.
I can't tell you about systematic racism and poverty structure and how the United States is systematically sets up black people to fail, because you stopped learning about this in high school.
I stopped learning about it in high school, and I'm a black man.
Right.
So
imagine if you were white and didn't care and believe fondly what you believe. Mm-hmm. What's the point of me arguing you down about this? We're not even arguing from the same point of view.
Like arguing with a stop sign. It's no point.
At least argue from the same point of view that I have.
The same vantage point and the same level of understanding.
And when you know, you'll see the same.
So how was I not getting on your nerves saying all the stuff that I was saying, and you knew all the stuff that you knew? You just pardoned my ignorance?
Yeah.
I appreciate you, man. I love you, man. I mean, you're my friend, man.
I don't want to go.
I felt like I was blind. Now I can see a little bit.
You open your eyes a little bit.
A little bit.
But I mean, and that really actually didn't even think about it like that.
Seriously, because like I'm just like, but see, whenever I'm coming from that, I just come from honesty. So I'm not the type of person that, so even
and
if
ignorance,
I'm ignorant.
Not ignorance as a derogatory.
Right, it's just, I don't know.
Ignorance means you don't know. And you're a very proud person, argumentative. You're going to make your point. You're only arguing from the amount of knowledge you have.
Exactly.
So it's a waste of my energy. Now we boys, so we can talk about it. But if we are on opposite sides of something, like when somebody says black on black crime, as a reason for anything, I don't have the time.
Right, because that's just such a open-ended conversation. It's not black and white.
I don't want to say that nearly. It would take so much time to say nearly all crime is based on who you know and who's in your community. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there's black on black crime because there's white on white and there's Mexican on Mexican and Asian on Asian. And I don't want to talk to you about poverty structures and institutionalized racism and the prison, the pipeline to prison.
The unfair sentencing.
Unfair sentencing, mandatory minimums, the difference between a gram of crack and a kilo of cocaine. I don't have time on the internet
to go into all that. For people that don't even know that.
So when you say black on black crime, it's really just a signal to me.
You don't know nothing.
You don't even have the same base of knowledge I have. I don't want to have this conversation with you.
And
I don't want to come off as elitist saying that. But we always have to defend things. Even for the church. When people don't go to church, black pastors, all they do is steal money, steal from the church, and stunt. When you say that, it's usually telling that you don't.
You're generalizing.
You haven't attended church. You don't know many pastors. You don't know the outliers of almost in everything. The bad apples represent the entire bunch. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going
to see. But I think that just honestly speaks to how dope of a person you are. Just because. No, seriously, take this praise, because even when I was kind of coming from that perspective about John Gray and different people and just I said his name right? Mm-hmm. Okay, different people, because I'm coming from, even though I grew up in church and different things, but I'm still coming from a point to where I just don't know.
But
and
you're arguing vigorously.
But you never make me feel stupid about it, though.
You're my friend.
That's good about you. Man, I feel like I learned something.
But if you were a person on the internet, I wouldn't even get into it.
Right.
Because I know I'm not going to change your mind.
It's the argument you can't win.
You're not going to change my mind. Mm-hmm. We're just going to be exhausted. And the old adage, when you see a smart person and a fool arguing from a distance, you can't tell who's who.
Mm.
And it's just like, that's what I feel like on the internet. I used to argue people on the internet. Right. When I do, I just end up feeling exhausted.
To argue with somebody you've never met, will probably never see in real life.
Thumbs. It's just like, I just make my videos, state my points, hope you come around. Chances are low that you come around. Because you got to think about it, though, like how hard it is for someone to change a core thought you have had.
Right. See, and I have an interesting take on that. And I know we'll probably be running short on time, but I wanted to say this because I was thinking about this on the way here when I was coming. I was thinking to myself, you know, I want to say some things that I really feel. Let me gather them together in my mind. So I was going on the whole thing about forgiveness and how we were talking about the mayor in Virginia and he was in blackface, different thing. And I was like, man, people think I'm lame because I forgave him or whatever. But my thing was this. It's all taught behavior is what I believe. So even though we can look at it and say, oh my God, that's wrong. It's stupid. It's malicious. It's hurtful. This is something that this person at a young age was probably taught by his parents, friends, family. So how is the way that we can remedy that, the people that have been taught these toxic thoughts about other, to maybe change them and maybe see a different way? If that's all you know, if I've been taught this from a child, how do I just flip that switch and not think like that?
I'm going to tell you. Because you were arguing that he shouldn't lose his job, right?
I was.
So kids today are still dressing up in the derogatory blackface.
Mm-hmm.
If you see that the person who is the governor of Virginia had a photo in blackface from when he was young and it cost him his job, now you say, you know what? Snap. Those consequences for that action are great. I don't understand why this is offensive, but I know that if I do this, it might cost me my job now or something in the future. I'm not going to do that.
I understand.
But when you keep your job, you're telling somebody,
I can do that.
The governor did it. This person did it. They didn't lose their job. So it must not be that bad. The consequences of actions is what teaches people that wrong is wrong. That's why it was so important that white dude who ran over the Heather in the Charlottesville massacre.
Okay.
I mean, Charlottesville in the riot.
The protest.
He rammed his car into her and she died. Mm-hmm. It's so important that he goes to jail.
Yes.
Because now if you are racist and I'm going to do the same thing, you're like, oh, snap.
Some people are going to jail for this.
Yes. And that's why black people were so upset about all these cops who were killing people and not even being charged.
It's all connected.
Because now, if you're a police officer...
And nobody ever goes to
jail.
You're
making that... Not only do they not go to jail, they're very rarely even charged.
You're not even losing your job.
So if you're making a split-second decision, and you think in your cases, 7 out of 10 of these guys don't even get charged. I think the dude who shot Walter Scott, actually went to jail. Of all the ones that happened in the last 5-10 years.
And that was... Do you remember that time when we used to call each other?
Yes. I don't want to go into it that much because I'm going to be upset.
Right, I got you.
But that's one guy who... And this dude was running away like it was like...
Shot him in the back.
Please.
Right.
But if you're a police officer and all this stuff happens and the majority of the time people don't even get charged, so when you're making that split-second decision, you're not really worried about the consequences.
Right, because you're like,
the blue is going to be more important. They got my back. My partner's got my back. The body can't. Like, that's what happens. Because there hasn't been the right consequence. And to be honest, you know, I would admit, actually, the movie The Hate U Give had a really good point on this.
I almost watched that. Is that a good movie?
It's a good movie, and it brings some great topics about race. And, he was saying that the cop, you know, in the movie, the kid reaches for a hairbrush.
Mm.
And he gets shot. Officer said he thought he had a gun. So Common is a black officer in this movie. And he was saying, my life's in danger. Mm. If I'm telling you not to do something and you do it, I don't know what you're grabbing, right? Mm-hmm. And that part I get. Because again, 12 and 10, right? If I feel like my life's in danger, like legitimately, not the cop that can say my life's in danger to get off.
Right.
Like it is a split decision that they have to make, right? So if I feel like my life's in danger and you're not listening to my commands, right or wrong, if I shoot you.
Human instinct will take over and you'll protect yourself.
Right.
And or at least what you think in your mind you're doing.
And you think in your mind that if in the back of your subconscious, you know nothing's going to happen to me, then you might not do that. So then in the same movie, they tell the girl, ask Common, who's a black cop, Does the person reaching in that car, does their skin help you make a decision? If that kid was white, are you less likely to pull the trigger? And he's like, yes.
Wow.
Because he was saying he knows the consequences. If I do that to a white person,
wow.
If I do that to a black person, you've seen how many times. Just think of this. black kid, person does something. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're not they're the victim.
Absolutely.
Their mugshot is in the thing when they're the victim.
Right.
White dude kills his whole family. It's a picture of him loving his family, not his mugshot.
I seen that. And there was the young lady that lost her life at the train station not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And
Portland?
Yeah. No, it was in California. And she lost her. The dude stabbed her.
And
then the picture that they put up, she had a cell phone with, like, it was a gun on it, but it was like a cell phone case.
Mm-hmm.
That's really telling how they paint that.
All
and they'll
the
call
time.
Like if a black person does something thug, and then if it's a white person misguided teen. I now see the anger. I see it now.
All the time. Wow. That happens in the media all the time.
And it's just little subtle things
like that. How many times has a white person done a mass shooting and he's taken alive?
Yeah.
Dylan Roof, they literally took him to Burger King. No joke. He said he was hungry. Everyone knew he killed people in a church.
And you took him to Burger King.
They take him alive, number one. Now you're saying
they don't be taking brothers.
Black people don't be. I've seen countless videos of white dudes fighting the cops.
Yeah, it's tough to even talk.
Getting their guns, taken alive. Right? Black people, Oscar Grant, he's shot and he was already handcuffed. Right? So this is the type of stuff that I think about. And this is why I don't be feeling like arguing. Because it's hard for me to explain all that to you. Replying back on Instagram and on social media, person on Facebook.
You really have opened my eyes. I'm being for real, man. Take this, man.
Ow.
No, man, wake up. Nah, man, I really feel like you really helped me in understanding, because now I can understand the anger and the backlash that I was getting with the things that I was saying.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't looking at it this way. Oh, yeah. Thank you for helping me get there, man.
All right.
Normally we do wrap ups and messages.
Two in a row, we didn't do no wrap up, no
but
message.
But that's cool. Now when we come back, y'all will want it.
We
should have
done
it
on the bonus episode, because that was light, but we didn't know.
Yeah, but I'm glad we had this. This is an important episode.
I didn't want to talk about this.
But I'm glad we did it in a way where it wasn't all heavy and it was good to the point, and there was learning.
Excuse me. You can't control it.
Yeah, you're right. There was a lot of learning. I learned a lot in this, and this was a very, very good conversation. So I appreciate that. Thank you. We appreciate all your... Stop!
It's uncontrollable.
So thank you to all the righteous out there. Thank you guys all. Please like the video, share the video, comment on the video. If you would like to support even more, we have links in the bio in the description. We have a Patreon.
Or just
account.
Go to righteousandratchet.com, because I'll be putting the links in late. And do
Put the link in the video. Oh, you put it in the comments.
That's how you think I sound?
Yeah.
Hey, Kev, hey, man, we can put the link in the video. You can put the link in the video. I did all the upload. I stayed up late to make sure it go up. You put the link in the top of the comment.
I don't have access.
You have a YouTube page. You have a Facebook page. You can comment, hey, guys, here's the link to the video.
You right.
Shoot.
But thank you guys for everything that you've done. Shout out to you all. And hey, go and rate us on Apple. Give us 5 stars.
Five stars or don't rate us.
And fight you. And we will see you guys next week. We love you all so much. We gave you 2 episodes this week. I'm Doughboys, Kev.